Good afternoon. I'm William English, and you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM, which goes out at... As I was saying, it goes out at... at 3 p.m. on Fridays, and is now repeated at the new time of 7:30 on Tuesday evenings. Now, several weeks ago, we featured a newly formed percussion outfit called Benghazi, which includes myself as Umtebe Noginga, Gwenda Jones and James Tregaskis, who gave a virtuoso performance of Vomiting. Gwenda has been sacked from Benghazi due to her lack of a musical instrument, but Benghazi will continue with James and myself, and James is here in the studio today. Welcome, James.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay. And today, I think you're going to try and... you're going to offer us some advice on how to maintain our PCs, I think.
Yeah, that's right. If anyone has any problems with their PCs, the sort of thing, or preventing, really, the occurrences of anything going wrong, really, that's the idea.
Yeah. And you're something of an expert in this field.
Well, I don't know about expert, but I've had a few problems in the past, you know, as anyone does, really.
Uh-huh.
And just trying to sort of help people along, really.
And what can go wrong with them?
Well, yeah, well, that sort of thing, you know, is sort of the, you know, so all things are fallible, you know.
Yeah. So, in effect, they do eventually come to an end, I suppose.
Well, I suppose that's right. PCs is included. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any friends who are ill?
Friends? Yes. Yes. I come to mention, but I thought you were going to talk about PCs.
That is your subject.
No, I'm not really prepared for this, William.
All right.
I'm not.
All right.
Friends. I've had many friends actually.
Yeah.
I've come to mention it. It's very upsetting.
All right. Well, let's not be too morbid then.
Yeah.
Well, my friend Hugh has emphysema.
Yeah.
And has only got 40% of his lung capacity.
Yes, poor chap.
Doctors have told him to stop smoking, but he can't, and he hasn't had a job since leaving art school in 1968.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. That's very sad. Actually, it reminds me of a few other things that have been going on in my life at the moment.
Yeah.
Sorry, just...
That's all right.
Can I just...
Okay, no, take it easy, take a deep breath.
Sorry.
Just relax a bit. Don't worry. Okay.
This is my neighbour's dying. She's lying on her back at the moment. She's 94. Her name is... I won't tell you her name. Her brother's there, and he's 10 years younger, and they're going off to die in an old folks' home.
Oh my God, yeah. Really? Yeah. Yeah, well, my brother had the... talking of brothers...
But I came to talk about PCs to get my mind off it.
Yeah, but you did mention brothers.
To get my mind
off
it.
You mentioned brothers. Now, my brother had the whole front row of his teeth removed. And I saw him during the operation, and it was actually quite shocking to see someone... who one has known since childhood with a familiar section of their head missing. And it makes you really think altogether about identity. I mean, I suppose it's...
Sorry. What's the problem?
I suppose it's like that in war. As I was saying, I suppose it's like that in war when a fellow soldier has their head blown off.
Yeah. This is very morbid, isn't it?
It's hard to imagine how you would regard someone without a head, really.
No, but it's reminding you how ghastly everything really is. I mean, there's no... Actually, you know, I've come to the conclusion there's absolutely no point in anything, even talking about PCs.
Right.
Listen, well, I bought some poetry with me.
Okay, let's...
I mean, really ought to be talking about, you know, hard disks and things, yeah, and very interesting things like that.
Well, we'd like to hear more about that later.
Equally interesting, I thought I'd bring some poetry to play. A friend of mine gave me that. I've never listened to it, but he said, you just put it on the radio and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
His name's Kevin, and... It's a poem about Salvador Allende, recorded on Italian television in 1972. I thought it'd be quite interesting. Should we give it a try?
Nixon.
It's Britney, bitch.
Frey.
It's Britney, bitch.
Peppino Shea.
It's Britney, bitch.
Fino ad oggi.
It's Britney, bitch.
Fino a questo amaro mese di settembre.
It's Britney,
dell'anno 1973.
It's Britney.
Con Burberry, Carrastasu e Banzer, piene voraci della nostra storia, roditori delle bandiere conquistate, con tanto sangue e tanto fuoco, impantanati nei loro orticelli, predatori infernali, satrapi mille volte venduti e traditori, eccitati dai lupi di New York. Macchine affamate di sofferenze, macchiate dal sacrificio dei loro popoli martirizzati, mercanti prostitute del pane e dell'aria d'America. Fogne, boia, branco di tenutari di bordello, senza altra legge che la tortura e la fame frustrata del popolo.
At least you give me a little comfort, that's what you say, at least I can have a little comfort. Don't you dare ever again ask for comfort, never again. It's killing you. It's keeping you as you are. And I'll prove that to you. Go to the nearest snack in the icebox. Have the next sex experience. Someone or something that will treat you nice.
Everything we experience in our conscious awareness is recorded on brain cells. And these recordings will often replay, causing us to re-experience the feelings we had when the recording was first made.
If you allow this butchery to continue, if you allow this so-called government that runs amok of God's word and shakes a fist in the face of God and spits upon the word of Almighty God in the name of humanism, of materialism, or even socialism, and do nothing about it, there will be a time they will walk into your house also with guns and jackbooted heels and demand that you burn your Bible and you curse the name of God right here in America.
Oh,
Okay, well, as I was saying, I suppose it's a bit like that in war. When a fellow soldier, for example, has their head blown off, for example, it would be hard to imagine how you would regard someone without a head, really, because there would be a complete loss of identity as such.
Yes, but there's a problem with identity anyway. Do you know who you are?
How do you mean?
I mean, we assume we know who we are, but we really don't.
Do you know who you are?
Not really. No, I don't. Really, I don't.
Okay.
And that's connected with, you know, we've had our senses of self and identity hijacked, really, in a modern context, haven't we? Don't you think we've...
Absolutely.
I mean, we're told to adopt certain personalities, but I wonder how real they are. That's all. It's very depressing.
Yeah.
So you don't know. That's really the difference between depression,
but
I think,
how much
misery.
How much is identity bound up with the way that you look? In other words, my point was
if you remove
some whole familiar aspect of somebody's persona, like removing half of their
it's
head,
perfect.
For instance.
You can be anything, though, without a head. You can sort of put on another head, and you can sort of become someone else, really. It's quite good, really. Yeah. I mean, from that context, even though you're not living, it's quite good news for other people because they can sort of stick another one on if they get bored with the old one.
Yes.
They can be, you know, put...
But you would never feel as though you were talking to the same person, would you?
Yeah,
I mean,
if
the new head had the same name as the old head, and you try...
No,
and
but,
you try to talk to that head as though it were the old head, then you'd surely have a problem with that.
I've just drifted off. I've completely drifted off because I do that from now and then. I sort of stop listening to what anybody's saying and I go off into another... Sorry.
What were you going
to...
I wasn't going to say anything. You were going to sing something, I think.
Yeah, oh yeah, we could sing something. Shall we, together?
Well, I'll have a go. I can't actually sing, but... We could have a go, I suppose.
First of all, we've got to identify, before we're allowed to do this, we've got to know that misery and depression are two different things. Because misery is really... Actually, my daughter told me this, that misery is, in fact, an intensity of feeling of sorrow. But depression is feeling nothing, really, at all.
Yes.
So are you feeling miserable or depressed?
Not today.
You're feeling jolly?
But I think I know what you mean. I mean, I think sadness... And misery, there is often a reason for that which the individual can understand. In other words, if somebody dies, you feel sad, and that's a logical thing. But depression can often seem illogical in that there doesn't seem to be any particular reason for that sadness. So which one are you feeling today?
Let's sing something. Come on.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
Well, do we need percussion?
No. Well, you can. Yeah. Go on. We better get on with this because.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Okay.
All right.
Ready? The world is treating me bad. Misery. I'm the kind of guy who never used to cry. The world is treating me bad. Misery. I've lost...
I've lost her now
for sure. I won't see her no more. It's gonna be a drag. Misery. I remember all the little things we've done. Can't she see she'll always be the only one? Send her back to me, 'cause everyone can see, without her I will be in misery. I'll remember all the little things she's done. She'll remember and she'll miss her only one, lonely one. Send her back to me, 'cause everyone can see,
Without her, I will be in misery. Misery. Ooh, in misery. La, 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 la.
Yeah, minute.
Yeah. Okay. I feel much better now. Thank
Good.
God.
Okay, that. Well, that's cheered
really
us up a bit, hasn't it?
Raise the tone yep. a bit, yeah.
All right, then...
Oh, when
then,
am I going to talk about PCs?
Well, then there is Tony, who had a stroke, and now can only say I know repeatedly. My friend Carl has serious arthritis and something called writer's disease. Morris, who has had a thrombosis, amongst other things, and when we visited him in hospital, he insisted on showing us his testicle, which had swollen to the size of a small football.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah.
I had that once.
And Sandra's mother has Alzheimer's, and Gwenda's mother has to go into hospital, but she's frightened of contracting MRSA. And the last time she was in hospital, she was kept awake by someone screaming throughout the night. And so on. Do you think that death should be taught in schools?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, actually, no, you hit on a really important thing, you know, because, I mean, it makes us treasure our... the bits that we when we are alive, if we think about when we're not going to be alive. And I think the worst thing of all is when people actually are self-pitying. And actually, if we go to number two, we've got, I think we've got an example of that. I've got to find this on YouTube the other day. It's really, yeah.
You're not pretty enough.
So, just tell us a bit more about PC maintenance, James.
Yeah, well, thing is, you mustn't chuck water around the room. When you're in an office, right, you should not, you know, sort of throw cups of tea at your neighbour and things like that. That's important. And when you do operate a blowtorch, make sure it's well away from the open back of the case, because if you throw flames in the case, you're onto a loser there, really.
Right.
And that, you know, I mean, the main things are water and fire, chucking it around, irresponsibly throwing, you know, leaving it outside when it's raining, that sort of thing is really bad news, you know. And, you know, that sort of thing. Sorry, what are we doing now? I'm sorry, you caught me unawares there.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category, and the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus, but I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, 'cause all the other kids drived. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened. And it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, "Yes, that's our son." And my funeral, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. "Please, somebody wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear to see my mom and dad so broken up. And my grandparents are so racked with grief, they can barely walk. And my brother and sister are like zombies, walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Okay, well, we're approaching the end of the program,
lives.
And I'd just like to thank James Tragaskis for coming in and talking about PCs.
Thank you. I hope it informed a few people.
Well,
that was helpful.
There was lots of very useful advice there on how to maintain a PC. And thank you very much, James, for coming in. We should wind up with one final track, I think, because the weekend is looming. And
we need something to cheer ourselves up. Yeah.
What do you think? Which
one? Well, I thought I brought in something that's emerged recently. It's a lady who's blind and took 2 years to record this. It's her recording her guide dogs to make a happy tune, and I think it's rather jolly for the weekend.
Okay.
Happy weekend, everyone.
You've been listening to Wavelength with William English and James Tragaskis. And coming up next is Alex Kolkowski.